You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come from you, ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day, a good weekend. Hope you're going to have a safe weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, must do, can do, and will do. And of course, the weather is whack. It's hot everywhere. I looked at a, you know, when they come on to weather, especially from a national, not a local, but from a national perspective, when they show the map of the United States, not the continent of North America, but the United States, the whole thing, north, south, east, and west, red. You know, in fact, I think 2 days from now, it's supposed to be 100 here in Atlanta. You know, man, this is the new normal, family. This is the new normal. We didn't heed the warnings of scientists and back about, back in the 80s, which is now about 40 years ago. And we kept doing, in fact, we suppressed a lot of stuff. They suppressed it. You know, they tried to make sure that you didn't know. You know, they suppressed it and kept, because, you know, the money for oil and Saudi Arabia. I mean, look at, when you look at Saudi Arabia and you look at Dubai and you look at Abu Dhabi and you look at Oman and Qatar and so forth, rich. But at the expense of the environment of the world. Anyway, this is a Friday, and we're going to have some good conversation, as always. We try to, brothers and sisters, you know, we try to, you know. So this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, just go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. The top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Hit that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Hit that link, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. But of course, you can always go to a shortcut. Any search engine that you use, put in babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net. And once again, programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Yeah, I know, family, we're going to do this because me and Kwaku made a commitment to come together to do this, to get those programs, those previous programs, because he hasn't put, he's doing well, man. He's getting better. And he wants, and he's going to do this. So we're going to have those programs on the website, timeforanawakening.com, podcast programs. Other programs we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Yesterday, last night, from 8 to 10, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement. And that's with Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursdays from 8 to 10. Tonight at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow night from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Once again, Time for an Awakening with Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to talk is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Mamani Tahimba is in Ghana, July 11th to the 23rd. July 11th to the 23rd. He is in Ghana. And so my dear brother, yeah, when he comes back, I don't know, you know, he's been real busy. We didn't get a chance to talk to him the last time he came back. But we'll figure something out for sure. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. His next trip when he gets back will be November 20th to December 2nd, going to Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azania. Azania, I'm going to get it correct. You know me. I want to get it. I'll just try to, you know, if a group of people pronounce it this way, and that's how they pronounce it, I'm going to try my best to do that. I ain't going to be arrogant and say, no, I pronounce it that way. No. What is the pronunciation? And we'll try to figure it out. April 4th to April 14th, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. So those are the upcoming trips. And of course, if you go to the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, all that information is there. Everything you need to make a trip of a lifetime, not necessarily to go with Brother Bomani Tahimba, but just even with another group or yourself, you know. Just go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. But if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
2007. Brother Bomani, 2007. All right. Okay. Habesha. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, the Habesha Works program, all the things that they have. Habesha Works, Black Tar Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Green Jobs. Coming up in October 12th, they have another festival, you know, and it's Sekashi. Kashi is named in honor of the real renowned Ghanaian ethnobotanist, Dr. Kwaku Adu. Dr. Adu was dedicated to research in ethnobotany and traditional medicine, and he was dedicated to Ghana. In the footsteps of Dr. Adu, we are committed to people of African descent, Ghana, and sustainability through natural resources. Kashi is a research and training institute which highlights instructions in sustainable and renewable eco-holistic practices from an indigenous African perspective. Kashi provides a sacred space for researching the ancient traditions of sustainability in terms of housing, holistic healing, and organic agriculture. Additionally, Kashi will be a safe space for African people to heal from the negative effects of transatlantic and Arab captivity and colonialism. Phase one of Kashi is complete and includes 5 eco domes, wow, 4 eco octagons, and a bamboo pavilion, bamboo treehouse, and solar car park, and laundry facilities. Through various fundraising efforts, Habesha is committed to doing our part to build Kashi in Africa, and we can't do it alone. So you got to learn more how you can help the Kashi Project in Africa.
That's one thing when I go to Ghana, I'm going to visit that. That is for show. Okay? And if you go to Ghana, family, that's what you should do. Okay. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. And, of course, they have 12 projects in six different countries with over 170 employees and over 260 members. They deal in the area of human necessity, of human essential, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. All right. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, he is still, I believe, in Kenya, in his ministry there, his outreach ministry there, the Minister of Wellness. But if you go to his website, he has a lot of good products to help sustain wellness, you know. So check out theministerofwellness.com, theministerofwellness.com. Smy Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY, Smy Pharmacy. And, of course, Smy Pharmacy, Brother Jabril, he has a lot of good products. He has expanded that. I mean, he has so much, man, stuff for immune system and all kind of good stuff for you, brothers and sisters. Smy Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. You can give them a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. If you want to drop them an email, go to put in the address, smyfarmacy@gmail.com. SMAIFARMACY@gmail.com. The Moses West Foundation. We developed and implemented the atmospheric water generation technology to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. Water is a necessity. It's not a luxury. It should not be commodified. It should be accessible to every human being on the planet. Water is the lifeblood of humanity. Water. Without water, we will not exist. Without water, nothing on this planet exists. So, check out the website, themoseswestfoundation.org. Moseswestfoundation.org. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End. Saturday and Sunday, they serve vegan dishes, but they have a fine selection of smoothies and fruit drinks and health drinks and pastries and dry goods, you know, beans and so forth. So Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, right there on Ralph David Abernathy. If you want to give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. Give her a call, because if you're looking for a book, she may have it, but if she doesn't, she'll get it for you. That's for sure. She has a fine selection of books and postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, gift certificates, all kind of good stuff. So give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located east of Atlanta in Lithonia. You take I-20. If you take the interstate, I-20, go head east and take an exit 74. And that'll be onto Main Street in Lithonia. You exit, make a left onto Main Street, Lithonia, and about a mile on the left will be Black Dot Cultural Center, Bookstore, and Coffee Bar. where my good brother Gazimdi Ajamu is there to serve you. And if you want to call to find out if he has books that you're looking for, if he has all kinds of good stuff there, believe me, give him a call at 770-305-6373, 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, because there is light in the Black Dot. Jump back on I-20, head back the other direction now, and jump back on I-20 east. The next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right on Turner Hill Road, three lights. Make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Okay. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us lifting us, their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on blogtalkradio.com. blogtalkradio.com. But if you want to call to listen, you can dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us. Also to Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah, he's open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And he has a fine selection of everything. He's got everything, furniture, clothing. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premises. This is just right on, Brother Abijah. Give him a call at 478-256-1166, 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. On Fridays, I like to make you aware of another program on Blog Talk Radio, which is Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, on Fridays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the number to call, this is my good brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. He's also a past president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, as I am. And you can give him a call at 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. And, of course, you can go to Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness on Blog Talk Radio. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. My sister Shelly Amonset, she has a fine selection of all kinds of good stuff, T-shirts and incense and everything, creams, stuff for your beard. Oh, man. Give her a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabby, check it out, the work that she is doing with these beautiful children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Because, you know, the country is in disarray. I haven't heard too much about the Kenyans that are supposed to be going there. And I just hate that fact. But Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I, A-Y-I-T-I dot org. Sanjay-Haiti dot org. Yeah, man. Baba Barudi and Mama Ya, you know, school starts pretty soon for them. But you can support the school effort at Akabin, you know, and what they're doing. by going to PayPal and making a contribution, or Cash App by making a contribution. Also, too, the books that Baba Barudi writes, and he's prolific, a very prolific writer, go to AkabinHouse.com. Prolific writer. AkabinHouse.com. The next event they're having is next week, Saturday. a healing event for African men and women, releasing our pain and healing together. That will be led by Baba Barudi and Mama Yah. That is Saturday, next Saturday, from 2 to 5. And it's going to be at the House of Ogun, 1720 Bright Street in Union City, Georgia. Couples, $50. Individuals, $30. If you want to give them a call, call at 404-753-7257. Excuse me, I'm sorry, wrong number. 404-753-7237. 7237. I'm sorry, family. Yeah. Make your cash donation to the healing event. And you can, like I said, you can use PayPal, YahBarudi at yahoo.com, or Cash App, $Yah, the letter M, Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I. If you want to use Zelle, you have a Zelle, you know, and Linda Lloyd Crawford, if you use Zelle, 404-790-1878. Include your pertinent information, healing event, your name, and your name, and the your friend, a sister, or a brother, your email address, where we can confirm our receipt of your donation, and day of the event, bring a picture of your donation receipt that says healing event, so we can match you in your registered list. And if you did not pre-register, you can make your donation at the door. The healing event, and of course, these are the event details. It will be open to African men and women, 25 and older. It will allow African men and women as a group to acknowledge the pain we have inflicted upon each other, ask for forgiveness to release our pain, and commit ourselves once again to each other. They're looking for drummers. And you can bring your drums if you're a drummer. The healing rituals will be earlier in the program, so timelier arrival is requested. There will be an African marketplace with healthy food, drinks, and other productive services beneficial to mental and physical, emotional, and spiritual health. This is a serious thing here, brothers and sisters. Okay? All right. Yes. The Inya Sesim of Daily. Revolutionary thought. July 11th. Every struggle, whether won or lost, strengthens us for the next to come. It is not good for people to have an easy life. Repeat, it is not good for people to have an easy life. They become weak and inefficient when they cease to struggle. Some need a series of defeats before developing the strength and courage to win a victory. Yeah. Yeah. Every time I hear that, I think of Mama Marimba, for us to think victoriously. The European Urugu. Man. Just as a keen chess player whose queen is threatened will retreat her, but to a position from which to launch a better strike, a good warrior turns every retreat into a more effective attack. Irrepressible behavior is grounded in an enduring spirit of resilience, and if it is to be possessed by our warriors in training, it must be instilled. They must learn the art of victorious struggle in order to create a sovereign future for African people. A sovereign future for African people, not a compromised future. That said, we have to ask ourselves, why is it not what we see in our community today? If we can momentarily set our egos aside, the answer is simple. We have failed to develop the victorious genius of our prodigy. Need to be resilient because the struggle component is missing from their socialization. And to hide our failure, we have refrained and redefine what genius is to a fit weaker, more pacifist, Yorugu-friendly idea. In our fear, we have forgotten that for powerful, sighted people, there is no bar for warriors, only pegs for measuring progress. And obviously, we have forgotten who we are because choosing weakness has always been frowned upon in our community. It has been seen as undesirable, even among the confused. Now, through it is being lauded as a point of pride, pun intended. Point of pride. Victory is an intergenerational process, and no matter how uncomfortable or threatening it may be to us or those who aim to destroy us, we must do the work necessary for our children and their children to do theirs. Ashe. Affirm. Through struggle, I hone my skills for coming battles. Through struggle, I hone my skills for coming battles. Because without, as Frederick Douglass, without struggle, there is no progress. Without struggle, there is no progress. July 12th. The fundamental challenge of the war is to bring to bear the power of the spirit on the circumstances of everyday living. Dwayne Smith. Warriors do not allow Yorugu or their minions to waste your time. Keeping your opponent distracted is a proven, very effective strategy of war. These various entertainments parading before us now are not accidental. There is clear political intent. This is part of Yorugu's battle plan, and they do this with glee, fully conscious of how it keeps us blind to their genocidal moves against us. They are quite aware that they are warring against our survival and sanity, and they are very familiar with the material logic, which teaches that if you keep your enemy misfocused away from you, you can gain even greater military advantages over them without expending a significant amount of resources or effort in doing so. Distractive thought and behavior tends to take on a life of its own, a life that progressively consumes more and more of the victim's time. This is a major issue for us, and it has reached a point where there are more irrelevant, dysfunctional diversions being attended to than real, productive, proven solutions. We need our warriors' total time and attention on frontline agendas and missions, and there are more than enough activities and needs not only adequately addressed, which have been left unattended. Continue to progressively work to our disadvantage. Yorugu knows this. In fact, they and their minions are responsible for manufacturing many of these distractions warriors get lost in. Affirm. Every day I focus on bringing to bear the full power of spirit against the wrong. Affirm. Every day I focus on bringing to bear the full power of spirit against wrong. July 13th. If you spill blood, blood alone can strengthen it. The Akan proverb. Forgiveness of evil without rectification is against Ma'at. Forgiveness of evil without rectification is against Ma'at. Balance can only be returned through peer effectively bringing the predator to a suffocating heel and permanently removing its talons. There is no easy way to Ma'at. There is not supposed to be. The ideal of an easy reconciliation by Yorugu is one of the biggest farces perpetrated against the minds of the mental sidal forever. Ma'at is not about being murdered and asking to be murdered again until the murderers awaken to their murderous nature in the hope that they will weep in guilt and rise in repentance. True, the mental side of majority in desperate mind twisting, sanity surrendering efforts to remain comfortably cradled in Urugu's blood-encrusted arms can pretend otherwise, but the pendulum returning order from violent disruption never changes. It is universally consistent in the deadly movement. It awaits the karma that only warriors can bring. Ashe. Affirm, I return what is given in a way that will return balance. Affirm, I return what is given in a way that will return balance. That's Ma'at. Balance. Order, harmony, reciprocity. Yeah. Yeah, family. So, I made a decision that we're going to talk about Project 2025. We talked about it early on. We talked about it in March of this year. Well, it's like 5 months ago, huh? Almost. March of this year. We talked about Project 25. Have been hearing about it and looked it up and at the time read what I could read. But now, man. And of course, it is fascist and racist. And so what's happening with it, because it is fascist and racist, so what's happening with it is that many of the Republicans deny they know anything about it or who's in charge of it and so forth. Well, of course, we all know that Trump is an habitual liar. And so he recognizes that the Project 2025, if he embraced it fully, which he really does, would be a detriment to his campaign. So he's claiming he doesn't know. He ain't never heard of it. Really saying this. This cat is just ridiculous. And he doesn't know who presents it. And of course, which was deep. He was speaking earlier this year in the spring to the Heritage Foundation, which of course is the organization that is really pushing the 2025 agenda, along with a lot of other organizations. My dear friend, she presented some information, sent information to me, and so I'm going to try to present this, you know, to you, you know. And so you get an idea of what this situation is, what 2025 is. But first I want to play this. She also sent me a piece on Instagram, which I played when the sister, Kim Jones, first did it because of her emotion. It was done when there was the George Floyd. When George Floyd, of course, first was murdered, and the disturbances that happened around the country, and of course here in Atlanta, it also took off. And this one sister, I've seen her since. I haven't seen her personally, but you know, but this piece here, in. She was on point with this piece. I'm going to play it, and if you want to comment on it, give me a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832, because if we take up this time, and we may have to deal with the 225 after the break, which ain't no big deal, because we can do whatever we want, can't we? We sure can. All right, brothers and sisters, check this out. This is a beautiful sister, and what she's saying. You know, yeah. So we'll be talking about 225 after the break. Check this out.
If I played 400 rounds of Monopoly with you and I had to play and give you every dime that I made, and then for 50 years,
Every time that I played, if you didn't like what I did, you got to burn it like they did in Tulsa and like they did in Rosewood. How can you win? How can you win? You can't win. The game is fixed. So when they say, why do you burn down the community? Why do you burn down your own neighborhood? It's not ours. We don't own anything. We don't own anything. Trevor Noah said it so beautifully last night. There's a social contract that we all have that if you steal or if I steal, then the person who is the authority comes in and they fix the situation. But the person who fixes the situation is killing us. So the social contract is broken. And if the social contract is broken, why the fuck do I give a shit about burning the Football Hall of Fame, about burning a fucking Target? You broke the contract when you killed us in the streets and didn't give a fuck. You broke the contract when for 400 years we played your game and built your wealth. You broke the contract when we built our wealth again on our own by our bootstraps in Tulsa and you dropped bombs on us. When we built it in Rosewood and you came in and you slaughtered us. You broke the contract, so your Target. Your Hall of Fame. As far as I'm concerned, they could burn this bitch to the ground. And it still wouldn't be enough. And they are lucky that what black people are looking for is equality and not revenge.
I say. Yeah. Yeah. I played it when it first came out. That was during the George Floyd disturbances across the country when they were arguing and protesting . So she's here in Atlanta, community organizing in Atlanta. And tell me if she ain't right. The emotion is real and it's raw and justified. And it kind of coincides with what we're going to talk about in terms of Project 225. Because 225 is the implementation, if done, to establish fascism in this country, to eliminate African people, to eliminate anybody else that's not Caucasian, to marginalize many communities, and basically a police state. That's what's going to happen, family. Let me play this so you get a good idea of during the administrations, and of course they want to establish a Republican conservative administration, which we've had. Let's be real, I don't like the Democrats any more than the Republicans. But the reality, from a financial standpoint, there were recessions under Republicans. Recession under Reagan, Bush. Clinton came in, and I do remember this. He balanced the budget, and there was a surplus. The budget, it will never be balanced now. It won't happen. It's way out of whack. Then younger Bush came in. They had a Great Depression. Then Trump, Obama came in. They rescued the economy, and there was growth, and it's true. This is true. Trump adds $7 trillion to the deficit. Unemployment rose to 14% because of course, the pandemic, which was, deeply affected. And, of course, Trump will argue that that's what happened. Then Biden came in and rescued the economy, and there was once again economic growth, and that's a fact. you may not like his gaffes, and believe me, they pounding on him. They are highlighting him like this man is insane. But the fact is, you know, they have done some things. They have done some good things to a degree. I don't give a f- But the Project 225, you know, that's the part that is whack. I'm going to play this particular piece on the Project 225. Because I tried desperately to to let us know about it way back in March. And I'm going to play this particular one. This is a little short piece here.
We have been hearing from many of our viewers about the presidential election. One person wrote in to the point saying, I enjoy your to the point presentations and appreciate that you show different sides of every situation. I see a lot of media coverage about Biden, but question why no one is reporting Trump's comments. Please explain to the American people what Project 2025 is all about. We also had another viewer that wrote in saying, please stop the Biden bashing. Please cover Project 2025. Well, we heard you. So tonight, ABC 10's Becca Hobegger is explaining what Project 2025 is and where it came from.
What is Project 2025? Well, basically, it's a 900-plus page plan to overhaul the U.S. government, meant as a roadmap for the next conservative president. It was developed by the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank, as something for Trump to consider, though we should point out Trump has stated publicly he is not directly connected to this plan. More on that soon. Project 2025 has four so-called pillars: policy, personnel, training, and a playbook for the first 180 days of the next administration to be written later. Now, the policy recommendation reads like a conservative wish list. They address immigration, including a border wall. While they don't ban abortion, they do call for taking mifepristone, the so-called abortion pill, off the market, among other abortion-limiting measures. The policy also calls for stronger military, removing diversity initiatives from the Pentagon and reinstating service members who were kicked out for not getting the COVID vaccine. It addresses tax and education policy, overall aiming to defeat what it calls the woke agenda. Here's the president of the Heritage Foundation on Fox News this week.
We are, if President Trump wins and he elects to use some of the plans of Project 2025, again, totally his choice, we are going to close the border as a country. We're also absolutely going to end the Department of Education if President Trump means what he says, and I believe he does, about that.
The personnel section is where the big changes come in. Project 2025 would reclassify as many as 50,000 federal workers as political appointees, essentially. Will workers who could all be fired on day one of a Republican president's term. Now, in their place, the plan calls for an army of loyal conservatives, and it creates a presidential personnel database of approved people. Now, there's also a training program for prospective political appointees called the Presidential Administration Academy. It's free, and most classes are between 30 and 90 minutes, aiming to educate people on how to be government employees. So, who is behind Project 2025? Well, the Conservative Heritage Foundation lists three people as in charge of the project. All former Trump administration officials and some authors of the plan are also former Trump officials. So what does Trump say about all of this? Well, last Friday on Truth Social, he wrote, I know nothing about Project 2025. I have no idea who is behind it. I disagree with some of the things they're saying, and some of the things they're saying are absolutely ridiculous and abysmal. Anything they do, I wish them luck, but I have nothing to do with them. President Biden has made this a big issue in recent days, saying Trump is, quote, trying to hide his connections to his allies' extreme Project 2025 agenda. The only problem, it was written for him by those closest to him. Project 2025 should scare every single American. Okay, so Keep in mind, as of now, this is only a plan drawn up by a think tank. It's not a law. It's not a bill. It's not even an official Republican Party plan. And if most of this was put into effect, it would almost certainly face immediate legal challenges.
Yeah. I know nothing. I don't know who's behind it. He's saying that with a picture of him speaking to the Heritage Foundation. Man, I tell you. Trump is a good case of the person who says, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Because I'm the purveyor. I am the liar, the great prevaricator, Donald J. Trump. So we're going to play some more a little later of those talking about Project 2025. And I want to get your perspective. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I'm going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back from the break, we'll take those calls and more information on Project 2025, and that alone, if it is being tied to Donald Trump, even though he has distanced himself from it because he realizes this shit is too far to the right, beyond right, that I can't present this and try to win this election, because even Republicans will reject this. I'm already razor thin in terms of vote. Even though Biden has been making these gaffes, I'm still very thin in terms of margin, you know. So I can't associate myself with this. I can't speak loud on this, because in that way, they'll jam me up. So it's going to be interesting, family. I can give less than a rat's ass who wins. I'm serious. Just like when he ran against Hillary. And I jokingly said that he was going to win. Damn it, I didn't want him to win. I didn't want her to win either, because I hate the Clintons with a passion. And I ain't crazy about Biden. But we'll talk about many of the organizations involved in this, man. So the reason why I'm saying it the way I'm saying it is because, to me, I don't care about battling these crackers about what they want to do. I want to get the fuck out of here. We need to go home. We need to close ranks, pull our resources, get with the brothers and sisters on the continent, get with the brothers and sisters in the diaspora. This is what the agenda is, and protect us, protect ours. Manage ours. Kick all those other son of a bitches that are on the continent that have been ripping it off many for centuries. I mean centuries. Ain't that deep? They've been ripping the continent off for centuries, and it still has more resources than any place on the planet. Wake up, family. You know, I always thought that an incoming president, I thought that about Ronald Reagan, you know, that when he came in, that we'd say, this cat is crazy, let's close. Because, I mean, all the previous ones, administrations of Johnson, Kennedy specifically, had us bamboozled. Shit, even Eisenhower wasn't bad. I don't know too much about Eisenhower. I was a kid, you know, when he came in the 50s. I was born in the early 50s, man. He did two terms, and then comes Kennedy. And Johnson filled it out when he got assassinated. And Johnson won when he beat. This was the first. That candidate, Barry Goldwater, was the first right-wing Republican. And in your heart, you know he's right. That was his campaign line. In his heart, you know he's right. you know. And of course, after Johnson, Nixon. He wasn't as hard to the right as, at least publicly, behind closed doors, he was just as reactionary even as Trump. And of course, I am not a crook. No, when you compare, if you compare his ass to Trump, no, he's not, because Trump is. Let's take a break, family. I appreciate you. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Chain on your feel like a slow.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives. I apologize about that. A little background piece there. Great song, though. yeah. So anyway, let's get back to talking about Project 2025. And I'm going to be looking at, as the time goes on, how we should approach this and, you know, and find out if there's any Negroes. And I'm quite sure, you know, there are. There are going to be some Negroes that are going to be supporting this. But I want to play for you, Sister Jasmine Crockett. I listen to her on YouTube all the time, and she be roasting these cats, especially these women, Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene. In fact, she came up with that butch body built. You know. But here's what she's saying about, and she's addressing this arrogant. I mean, this cracker is just, oh, he's reeking of arrogance. His attitude and how he responds, man, you know, because there's been, I don't know about you, there's been some crackers that I've seen on video or live, whatever. I want to jump through the TV and just bust them all in their shit, you know, just strangle. I mean, just they invoke that kind of response because of how they are. And you could just sense it and feel it. So here's Sister, this is a two-part piece on Project 2025.
Mr. Hamilton, I don't want you to feel left out of this conversation. So I'm going to make sure I ask you some questions. You're the executive director for the America First Legal, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And America First Legal is a member of Project 2025, which is dedicated to creating the playbook for the next conservative administration and what it calls the project pillars, correct?
We are proud contributors to Project 2025.
All right. So let's walk through some of the provisions of the mandate. It calls for eliminating the Department of Education, eliminating the Department of Commerce, deploying the military for the use of domestic law enforcement against protesters under the Insurrection Act of 1807. It also has the repealing of Schedule F status for thousands of federal employees to allow a president to replace career civil servants with unqualified partisan loyalists. That's probably my favorite of it. Mr. Hamilton.
So we're going to go to the second part of this particular piece where our sister is addressing this Caucasian, Mr. Hamilton. And as you can hear how she's running it down, you can see how deep this is. This is deeply fascist. This is a police state. This is a police state.
I don't know why. Anybody can support Project 2025. There was allegedly a joke about dictators and whether or not that's funny, but in the United States of America, dictatorships are never funny, and Project 2025 is giving the playbook for authoritarianism as well as the next dictator to come in. I know that you are doing your jobs here by making sure that hopefully some juror turns on and finds some viral moment of you spewing more of the nonsense as it relates to the president, but as practicing lawyers, I hope that we can all agree that no one gets indicted because someone says so. There takes a grand jury, and the grand jury is comprised of American citizens that sit down and review evidence, and they make the determination. And when and if Trump is convicted, it will be a jury of his peers, and it won't be the president of the United States.
And she's right. She's right. It'll be a jury of his peers. And they did that. They convicted him. And they have many more to go. You know. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. Yes, caller. Hey, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, Oshie?
How you doing?
Listen, I'm all right, man. I can't call it. Listen, the reality is that Project 2025 is the most dangerous legislation put forward in God knows when. I mean, the reality is if Trump gets into office and they start to implement some of these things, it's going to just totally be detrimental to Black people. And unfortunately, we're not smart enough to understand that, because the simple question I always ask them is this. You have 50,000 government employees. And the thing is, most Black people don't know the biggest employer in the United States of Black people is the government.
True.
So hereby you have 50,000 government employees, and out of those 50,000, you and I both know it'll probably be 40,000 people of color. The question then becomes, and it's a very simple question that no one's going to honestly answer, is who's going to employ those 40,000 people that are going to be displaced? See, these are the little small things that, unfortunately, a lot of people don't think about and don't analyze. Because, first of all, if you ask 10 Black people who is the biggest employee of in the United States, I guarantee you 8 would not know it's the government. Because I've done it. I've asked people on 125th Street in the so-called Mecca of Black America, Harlem, that question, and the majority of the people can't answer it, have no clue. So right there, number one, is going to start the onslaught on the Black community. Then you're talking about all of the other things that's going to be in play. Talking about education, talking about medical. You're just looking at such a disastrous implications into the structural society of this country. And it's unfortunately that the white people who think they're going to benefit from his presidency don't even have the intelligence to understand that he's going to do more harm to them than good. Because the reality is this. Have you heard them talk about what they're going to replace anything with in regards to Obamacare? Wasn't he, when in office, didn't he try to repeal Obamacare and was never able to do it, but could never articulate a plan for the replacement? I mean, come on. These are just simple things that if you observe this psychopath and his lying, continuous nature, that you would have to question, what am I voting for him for? I mean, I'll even go as far as to say the media is complicit in allowing this psychopath to be in the position that he is. Because I always say this, why don't they never talk about what happened to the soybean farmers in the Midwest? And unfortunately, them dumbasses still support and want to back them. Why don't they never articulate this BS that he's talking about, charging China 10% on tariffs? Now, I mean, if you know anything about economics, that 10% isn't going to fall on the corporation. It's going to fall on me and you.
Right, the consumer.
So, you know, the reality is, it's really the media and the lack of articulation by Biden and the Democrats to say, well, there's just certain things that if he becomes president, is going to be detrimental to everyday people. Because let me say this. Tax-wise, I did all right. And the only reason I did all right is because of the way that my financial situation is structured. But I know friends of mine who had mortgages that were before the tax implements was put in place, was able to write off anywhere from $16,000 to $20,000. Do you know when they changed the tax laws that it was capped at $10,000? So there's a lot of things that we think are benefiting us, but if you're in a certain financial situation, it ain't really benefit you. And let's not even talk about those that are poor. I mean, it's just, you know, it's sad that we don't have people messaging properly. We don't have a media that's honest. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we think, you know, we're going to be all right, but it's going to be that disastrous. And I'm not saying that Biden is great. I'm not saying that Biden is this and Biden is that. I think one of the mistakes that black people make is, and this is because we have this incessant need to be loved by white people and respected by them and nurtured by them, is this simple thing. They make it seem like Biden's doing nothing for black people. All you have to do is go online and type in what has Biden done for black people, and it would absolutely shock you the things that he's done. But you know what makes the narrative what it is and bad is? That it doesn't just say singular black people. It's just like with the Asian crime bill. Your dumbass Elliot couldn't even realize that the Asian crime bill that Biden signed is a law in America, and that that law is pertaining to every American citizen. So when you have to implement that law because of something that has happened to a black person or any other person, you implement the law. Just because it has singularly or said Asian or something like that, you think because it didn't say black that it doesn't pertain to you, which is kind of short-sighted and stupid if you ask me, because a law that is placed into law, from my understanding, and I could be wrong,
supposed to benefit everybody,
and clarify, is supposed to pertain to every American and to be able to be implemented by those that have the authority to implement it. So that nonsense that Elliot and them was talking about shows his absolute ignorance. You know, well, but look, every Negro in a small
ignorance, right? Well, ignorance only means absence of knowledge. So I'm glad you didn't say stupidity.
They try to articulate like they have so much knowledge, but it's just certain basic common sense.
Well,
and I'll leave it with this: it's unfortunate that we as a people are not clear on certain things, because I say this to you, go look at online what Biden has done for black people. And when you look at the list, compare that list to if you think Trump gets into office, that he will do the same for you. He's going to take away any chances of you getting better medical treatment, better education, Pell Grants, taking away of student loans. I mean, all of the things that this guy is trying to do, which in a sense is superficial on a certain level, this guy is going to do anything. If anything, he's going to continue to take away your so-called civil rights.
Okay. All right.
But how do you think this guy is better for you?
Well,
how do you think he's better for you?
Well, I,
and
you know,
2025 alone should
tell you exactly.
If you're intelligent, this man ain't for you.
But 2025 is not just 2025 is a structural situation for those who don't believe in the hardcore conservative, you know, development of this country. So liberals, folks who are in the middle, and so forth, all of them will feel. And for those who are in want to support abortion rights, rights of women, you know, all of that.
Everybody's gonna feel it, Oshie. Yeah. The white trash is gonna feel it just as bad as black people and other ethnic groups. But I'll leave you with this, O, because I know you got other callers.
Yes, thank you.
Let's talk about this right quick. What are black people gonna do when these Neanderthal knuckle dragging Yorubas start rounding your black ass up, and you don't have the proper identification to say that you are an American citizen? Now, how many people that you know, honestly, Oshi, outside of your circle has a passport? Think about these little things. So that means if you're walking down the street, O, and they decide to round you up, and you don't have the proper identification, and let's say you can't get in touch with your daughter or something like that, what you think will happen to you?
They'll put you in jail. They'll detain you. They'll detain you.
Okay.
What do that tell you
that you would, in any way, shape, or form, think about placing somebody like that who would try, because that's the word, try, to implement those type of policies when you don't even have your act together to be able to survive? And mind you, Oshi, did he not, in the first year of his administration, separate babies from their mothers and fathers?
Yes, he did.
At
the border.
And fathers
at the border.
Have never been able to reclaim?
Yeah, at the border.
So what do you think will happen if he placed you in a detention and didn't decide to put your black ass on a boat or a plane? Come on, man.
All right, man. All right, Jay. Yep. This conversation will be ongoing. All right, my brother. Thank you. Good afternoon, Philadelphia caller.
Hey, Brother Oshi, how you doing, good brother?
This is who I thought it was. Hey, Brother Joseph, how you doing, man? How you been?
A long time no talk to.
That's right.
But, you know,
good to hear from you, man.
Thanks, Brother Oshi. I
hear from you when I listen to Brother Elliot and Brother Richard and Jay. If you're listening, man, stop insulting people on my program, man. You know, stop doing that, brother. Okay. Go ahead, Brother Joseph.
No, that's fine, Brother Oshi. But I'm a little confused because I thought, Brother, that you had a driver's license or an I-State ID. That was sufficient enough to show that you are
sure
a citizen of the United States.
Sure it is. You don't need a passport.
Because most people I know don't walk around with passports. But even some of the brothers that's on the corner, and I'm not saying over the corner from the regular brother, even some of the brothers that might be out there being like thugs, like almost.
Right.
I even tell because I see the brothers that go around here and play, they sell drugs. They even got driver's license or state ID,
sure,
which proves that they're citizenship. So, I mean, you know, I mean, it's just, you know. But my whole thing, that Brother Oshi, and like I told a moderator on the local terrestrial radio station here yesterday about the 2025 plan. Sure, it's a dastardly plan, Brother Oshi, right?
Yes.
But guess what, Brother Oshi? I don't fear it, because I'm going to tell you why I don't fear it, because these devils going to always come up with some stuff. Should we fight against it and stand? Of course we should, but I don't fear it, because, Brother Oshi, as long as we live in this devil, this white devil, he going to always come up with a 2025 plan. For example, I was telling this moderator yesterday about Edward Blum. And see, there again, your cowardly black leadership, and your so-called white Jewish allies. When I'm talking about the so-called our so-called friends, I'm not talking about people like George Voices of Peace, which I marched here in Philadelphia with, who's against the genocide in Gaza. They good. I met with some of them. They good people. I'm talking about the so-called anti-defamation league that's supposed to be against discrimination.
Right.
They have opened their damn mouths, Oshi, when Edward Blum, this devil, who MSNBC did a special on the other week, and Jay, and I got to give Jay credit, because Jay first book, Edward Blum up to the top of the wicked list. So I was familiar with him, but I give Jay credit. He did bring him up to all the audience and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the deal. Now, this devil, he's referred to by the media as the Texas Jew, right? This man was a one-man wrecking crew and helped dismantle an affirmative action. You know, I didn't hear him. Now, one so-called person from the Anti-Defamation, Jenny Jew from the Anti-Defamation League, Brene Burke, and these white Jewish organizations, I always so quickly talk about discrimination against Minister Farrakhan, this and that, when one of their own has systematically helped destroy affirmative action. They opened their damn mouth over Edward Blum. And he's such a wicked devil. When they did that special on him, he goes for a playbook, which white people always do. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you can't end discrimination by starting discrimination. That's
right.
What the devil said. And I said, devil, I'm not even trying to hear all that. I said, because first of all, y'all white people always come with that stuff about my ancestors didn't have slaves and all that, and how that we do affirmative action to discriminate against white people. But you notice, Brother Oshie, they never blame unqualified white people for them being, for not being able to get to medical school or law school. Mm-hmm. It's always some black or Latino,
right,
or whatever. And I'll give you a good example of what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You remember about a year, and again, this is where people like Hakeem Jeffries and Meeks make me sick, because they should be putting these things out to the average black person. Remember about 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, Brother Oshie, when those two white women who was like actresses and stuff, they was paying off, they had paid off the deans and the school administrators.
Right, so their children could get in school. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, if you think, Brother Oshie, that just happened, that was just an isolated incident, that stuff been going on for years with rich white people.
They
were getting their daughters and sons in these medical schools and law schools, knocking other people out, whether it was black, white, or whatever.
Right.
But
that's privilege.
White people, like,
that's the privilege. Exactly. That's the privilege that they have established and secured it for themselves, based upon the fact that they're number one, they're Caucasian. But the big number two is that they have resources. They have wealth. They have wealth.
Exactly. But you never heard white people like blowing them talk about that. They always talk about some unqualified black person or Latino not hurting a white person. I bet you a dollar to a donut that all these white kids over here that couldn't get in medical school, they weren't able to get in medical or law school because of some black. It was because of unqualified white people. But they put the blame on black people. And another good example, Brother Oshie, when that Jew Faki several years ago and that white girl Amy down in Texas, both of them blame unqualified black people.
Right.
You know what I mean? See, that's the pattern they do. And they try to justify their racism. But again, if people like Hakeem Jeffries and Meeks didn't have their head up Israel's ass, they should be putting these things out to our people. See, the average black person don't know. So they heard this stuff. I live in the real world, Oshie. When you got people here, you got sisters and brothers out here struggling just to make ends meet, because a lot of them don't have that, not making decent wage. Some have to work two or three jobs to keep a roof over their head, a car, daycare, and they don't have time to try to do all these things and stuff. They're struggling just to make ends meet. Like Mr. Farrakhan said, your politicians supposed to be your watchdog. They're supposed to be ones looking out for black people's interests and stuff like that. But they don't do it. If Jeffries and Nix and all them Negro Clyburn spend as much time kissing Israel's ass and sucking up to them, they would educate black people about what's going on with these laws and stuff like that, more black people would be more in tune. Like Dick Gregory always say, information is powerful when you got the right information. But some of our people, Brother Oshie, because of their struggles, they just don't know. So they don't know about the Edward Blooms of the world. They don't know about a lot of other stuff that go on, the Project 25 and all that kind of stuff. You need your black politicians, the watchdog, and they do a piss poor job of keeping our people informed and stuff, man. Mm-hmm. But my point is that, again, we as black people should fight 2025. But again, as long as we live under this white man, he's going to always come up with some stuff, whether it be 2025 or 2024 for that matter. It could be anything that's double. He's going to always come up with some laws and stuff to try to hurt our people. So we always got to be vigilant against them. But like I said, I don't fear, because to me, 2025 is no more of a fear to me than if they made this matter of affirmative action back here. They're going to always come up with stuff to hurt poor people and people of color, yeah. man. But see, again, you got poor black leadership in this country. They are a disgrace. When Brother Elliott played that clip by Glenn Ford and Bruce Dixon, where they're talking about the black misleadership class.
Right.
And he's absolutely right. They are a disgrace. Yes. And it's not just on a national level, Oshie. It's on the state and local. Right here in Philadelphia, some of these Negroes that's on a city and state level, they're a disgrace, man. Brother Oshie, they are terrible, man. Oh, my God, they sick. And when I look back at brothers like Street and Dave Richards, these brothers out there, Sister Roxanne Jones, these black folks was on the front line. They all three of the people I was just mentioning deceased, but when they was living, they was out on the front line fighting on crackers. I mean, you had Milton Street and Dave, they were grab crackers by the collar up in Harrisburg, in the state capital. And they was warriors for their people. They weren't afraid
That's
of the
right.
white man.
They
I'm telling you what I know.
That's right.
He was no punks. He was men, man. Dave Richards got right up on the house floor and told them, I'm supporting Mumia. He said, I love Minister Farrakhan. When Minister Farrakhan would come to Philadelphia, Dave Richardson was the only black elected official in this city that not only be seen with him, he would stand right and he would be sitting there when the minister come here. He'd be sitting up in the front row. He wanted the media to see him there because Dave was a man. He wasn't no punk, man. He was a man. You know, you got these spineless Negroes, boy. They make me sick, some of them and stuff, man. They're cowards and stuff, man. Yeah. And Brother Oshie, I'm going to take up a lot of time. Let me comment one more thing about Joe Biden. You know, here in Philadelphia, I was talking to Brother Ralph this morning. And Elliot this morning about that. Now, to show you how people are, we put in a position that we have to choose between two old white devils, mm-hmm. Joe Biden, genocide Joe Biden, yeah. and Donald Trump. Now, here's the deal. Black people are so engrossed in trying to support Biden, they overlook everything. Now, like on terrestrial radio, and I close with this, Oshie, on terrestrial radio station here in Philadelphia, you had Negroes, including the host, talking about some, well, you can, you know, because Joe Biden made a mistake and called Donald Trump his vice president. That's no big deal. I'm like, saying the hell it ain't. But this ain't no foot in the slip. This man has clearly mental decline. You know what I mean? Because think about it, Brother Oshie. Trump is open. He hates Donald Trump, and Trump probably hates him too. You know, it's like Brother Oshie, you getting on his radar one day, and you saying, man, I'm gonna go out to lunch with my good friend David Duke, and I'd be saying, "Oh shit, you lost your damn mind."
Yeah,
I mean, you don't make no slip like that. The man got mental decline. But what got me, Brother Ocean, I want Brother Jay and listeners to listen to this. These niggas are so pitiful. They got their head stuck up by behind. This thing was looking. They were saying stuff like, "Well, you can compare it to like a grandmother or stuff who cared, who got grandchildren or great grands, and they come over the house and it's like three, four, or five of them, and she make a mistake and call one of them by the other name and say, well, I meant to say him. Brothers, Oshie, that is so weak. I got a mother. I had a got grandmother. I've been up with friends of mine's house mm-hmm. where their niece and nephews be over and their mother. And she'll make a mistake, and she might be in her 80s or whatever, and she might make a mistake and call one of them about it. And she said, oh, I meant of our hands, whatever.
Sure, that's logical. That happens.
That happens
in their age. And so what happened?
Exactly.
So what happened to Biden? That could happen. The bottom line is Biden doesn't make any decisions all alone. He's not a dictator. He's the president. And what does he do?
Exactly.
He should get a group of people around him that will have sound mind and body and policies that can be implemented. And that's what you do. He's the president. He's not the king.
Exactly. And that's my point, Brother Oshie. See, you can't compare that to your when your relative or your friend's relative make a mistake. That's their loved one. You can expect. But when you're the president of the United States, dude, and you're talking about your open woman, this is somebody that Biden hates, man. And
well, obviously, he's on his
vice president.
Obviously, it was the person he hates, Donald Trump, is on his mind. Is
exactly.
on his mind, and it should
exactly.
be. So I appreciate you, Brother Joe.
Hey, can I say one thing right quick?
Make it quick, Jay.
Hey, listen. Joe just said something about driver's license. Ask him, and let's be clear, illegal aliens have driver's license. So his analysis that if you have a driver's license,
that's
and
an
you
ID.
Get picked up, that's not true, bro.
Yes, it
the
is.
The reality is that once they pick you up, and it's done happen to people, let's be clear, that have been deported that are American citizens.
Why? Why? So because, hold on, Jay. Hold on, Jay. Because why? They got the driver's license, not because they were legally a citizen of this country, but through other means. And so it was found out that they had this driver's license that's illegal. They're illegal.
Exactly.
See?
Exactly.
So that's what it is. So, but no, Jay, if you got a driver's license, no, I'm not wrong.
In New York State, that's not true. They give illegal aliens in other states driver's license. Oh, I know this for a fact. This is a fact, brother. They get their driver's license as not USA citizens, but I guess they must call them residents or being here. So, no, that's not true, O.
Okay.
But then the thing is this. You said he made the analogy about Biden and dementia. Number one, my grandmother had dementia. Biden doesn't have dementia.
No, he doesn't.
He may have early stages of cognitive dissonance or something
not
like that.
Not cognitive dissonance. He has early stages, maybe with some Alzheimer's.
And the last point is this, O. If he thinks that Biden doesn't have people surrounding him, advising him, directing him in what direction he's going, something's absolutely wrong with him. But think about it this way. The people that surround Trump, do you think they're not more dangerous than the people that surround
I agree.
Biden? Come on, bro.
I agree. All right. Thanks, Jay. All right, Jay. Thank you, bro. I agree. Go ahead, Brother Joe.
Mm-hmm. One last comment. If the counter Jay's argument, if that's the case, then they can give illegal aliens phony passports as well.
And they do.
So Jay's argument don't hold no weight for stuff. You can get a phony passport. I mean, when does it end? A driver's license sufficient enough? Because if here in Philadelphia, you think of lying. Now I can't speak on New York. Maybe New York X operate. I don't know. But I know here, plus you got a state ID or a driver's license. That proves your citizenship. And matter of fact, you can't even get a job here in Philadelphia. They don't even ask you for a passport. You got a state ID or a driver's license. That's the first step towards you better get a job in Philadelphia. I know that for a fact.
All right.
So thanks, Brother O'Shea. Put me on hold and I'll listen to the rest of the show.
All right, Brother Joe. It's good to hear from you, dear brother. It's good to hear from you. Hope all is well with you and the family, man. Peace to you. Assalamu alaikum. All right. All right. Brother Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Baba Ochi, and how are you on this wonderful and pleasant day?
Oh, I'm doing well, my brother.
And I'm so glad to hear that, my brother. Well, let us just mutually give thanks for life.
Thank you.
Baba Ochi, you know, interesting conversation back and forth. But to be honest with you, I didn't hear it all. I only tuned in at a late stage.
Okay.
But you know one interesting thing? Yesterday, I found this quite interesting. On the BBC, I was watching the news. And quite well-known BBC, what they call them now, BBC journalist or interviewer was interviewing, you know, this new prime minister. They call him Keir Starmer.
Yeah. He's a centrist or left wing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the leader of the Labour Party, the equivalent mm-hmm. of your so-called Democrat Party, left-wing type party. But yeah, and he was asked a question, because it's all headline news. Is the leader of the free world fit for purpose? And he asked the Prime Minister, which I was a bit took back by his question. He directly said to him, is the leader of the free world senile? And I was shocked because I've seen him on TV before, this news interviewer, journalist, and he's not as brash as that, but he just come out with it like that. And then the Prime Minister turned around and said, no, he's all right. he's okay. You know, I spoke to him and we had a good conversation and he's okay. Now, you know, the problem with that is this. Yeah. You know, it reminds me of this Gaza situation, right? Mm-hmm. And how this whole thing's going. You know, I don't think, you know, in world history we've ever seen a time where within seconds we can see things on our devices, whether they be our phones,
right, exactly,
or whether they be our TV,
in real time,
like, the room. Yeah, right. There's never been a time like right. this, yeah.
Right.
And you know, when you watch this crazy madness, you know, it's not just Gaza is happening. Madness is happening in Sudan. Mm-hmm. Madness is happening in other parts of Africa, and other parts around the world. It's going on. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
that because it's not being beamed into your home because we don't control the media, but. You know, the reality is when if you look at this Gaza situation, you can see it's just there's no words can't describe the barbarity.
Yeah, the horror
of the supposedly civilized country they put themselves to be. They try to say that they're this democratic, whatever this word democracy really means, but yet they're telling you they're fighting a war, but the only things you see is collapsed buildings where they've used. Extremely heavy bombs to mm-hmm. drop on civilians and kill them in their homes.
Yes.
And, you know, and then, you know, we come up with a word, we call it genocide. And for me, genocide means that you are fighting people, not army. You're not fighting an army which can fight you back. You're fighting people who can't fight you back, who don't have a chance in hell of fighting you back, and you're just killing them because they,
right.
you know, they can't defend themselves. That's what genocide means to me.
Okay.
And when I look at that situation, that is what's happening. They're just killing these people and telling you that, oh, because they've built tunnels and we're trying to get the people in the tunnels, so they're going to drop bombs on the buildings, yeah? Now, most people with reasonable intelligence would agree that it's genocide going on. I mean, they're killing these people.
Mm-hmm.
But yet at the same time, the people who lead you, the people who you manage your affairs and get to decide what type of education your children get and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they're telling you what you're seeing is not happening. Now, you know, Baba Ochi, sometimes I have to pinch myself and think, have we gone down some alternative reality? You know, and then to see this man, and people debating whether he's senile or not, and I can clearly see that there's something very wrong going on here, mm-hmm. and that he needs to sit down and someone needs to take his place. It's very obvious, but yet we are debating whether whatever problem he has is not happening, or whether it's happening, or whether he should. It's, you know, Baba Ochi, man, you know, I've often thought when I observe people and I look at our situation today, with all our technology, with all our access to education, with supposedly have more money, mm-hmm. I do pose the question to myself. I wonder if we've gone backwards. And then I heard a professor on one of your platforms, one professor in Howard or one of these universities, say the same thing. She said the people have gone backwards. And I said, there it is. You know, in terms of some sort of, I don't know really what this, I have to even question what this term intelligence is. I have to re-examine what this word intelligence means. Because the way, what we are seeing, what is really happening in the world? What is going on? What really is happening? I mean, you know, you know, where are we? I mean, even these conversations we are having and the debates we fall into, you know, we're debating whether this man is competent or not when it's absolutely clear and obvious that he's not. I mean, to anybody with a reasonable intelligence, whatever intelligence is, it's obvious that he's not. And, you know, the other thing is the reality or the reality of the situation. I mean,
in that respect, though, Brother Paul, neither is Trump. They're both at times truly incoherent. You know, these are two of the most flawed candidates for the presidency of the United States, I guess, there's ever been. And the oldest, true, of course. You know. And so then when you look at both candidates and when you come to look at what Trump has done in his presidency and what he has done prior to that and what he has done since that, you know, the lies, all the things that this man has done, who's a better candidate, even though they're both deeply flawed, Who's a better candidate? Which one would you choose?
Well, let me put it this way. Let me put it this way, Baba Ochi. Because I like
that's what the choice is. That's what the choices is that is being presented to the American people. You know, because that's what's going to happen. They're not going to change. Joe Biden will be on the ticket. He will be the person that you're going to vote for in November here in this country. So go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I hear that, and I was thinking about this a few days ago. Even if people say you have the choice of two evils, this statement and whatever, and I don't think the evidence says that. The voting is only one part of the political game. That's only one part of it. Voting. I mean, you have lobbyists, you have people who fund these parties. These parties are not, they're private companies. They are born out of people who have interests and put money together and put their wealth together. That's how it happens. And yeah, you say you're presented with only those two choices in terms of the political game they play. But in reality, if people come together and put their money together, if people form lobby groups and buy their interests, or even form their own parties, they have another choice.
But as you can see, Brother Paul, in this country, it has never been able to happen because of the amount of money, the millions and tens of millions of dollars that they pour into the Republican Party and to the Democratic Party. So any third party candidate, Libertarian, this, whatever it is, you have no chance, zero chance. I don't give a damn how intelligent you are and whatever program that you want to initiate, you have zero chance. Go ahead.
Bob Ochi, are you really seriously telling me, I mean, in all seriousness, that African Americans do not really have the money to compete with these people? Are you really seriously saying that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't think so. I don't believe that.
You know.
Do you know why I don't believe that? Because the reality of it is you know, I don't believe that. The problem, as I see it,
the American Africans who have serious wealth are either, most of them are in the Republican Party, because that has been the party for the rich. And of course, there are some in the Democratic Party, because that party also too, there are million dollar donors in that party as well. But for us to extract ourselves from both of those parties and form our own party, that's no. In this country, no. And we don't have the ability to do it, and nor will we have the ability to match what the Caucasians can bring in terms of wealth. No.
You know where I think the problem is? I think the problem is a lack of vision. I think there's a lack of vision going on in that suggestion, because, you know, it was a conversation which developed last week, and I absolutely agree with a few commentators on another platform, a professor and other academics suggested there's a lack of international foresight. America doesn't, the American people you talk about who have the money, they don't make their money solely in America. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Of course I am. Okay. Right.
They make their money by investing around the world, investing in other places, yeah. And I have observed this, and I heard it in some conversations. I came to this conclusion by interjecting some of these platforms. Certain individuals I listen to, I realize they don't have that international view. And a lot of the African-American academics, I know they don't have that international view. Everything's about America. So therefore, the way I see it, where they're at advantage is not really money, it's the mentality. Because they only see things coming from America. They don't realize that America makes its money from investing around the world. That's where it makes its money, not really in America. For instance, it's shifted all its businesses, the main businesses out. The biggest company in the world, Apple, doesn't make phones in America. It makes phones in China.
Right.
Okay. So, but I don't think African Americans have grasped that fact. Because if they have, they would be doing the same thing. Well, they would be, let me finish this, they would be organizing themselves effectively to take advantage of what's going on around the world. But even when I listen, I don't hear that. All I hear is America, what's happening in America. It's almost as if they're closed shop. And I hear that a lot.
America, America's corporate interest is here. America's manufacturing, yeah, and all other things, because why? They want to maximize profits. Always about more, more, more. Now, here you have some individuals here in this country. In fact, America has most of the world's billionaires. That's ridiculous to have one individual or a group of families who are billionaires. But that's the fact of the matter. And we, African-American Africans, we're not in that position. There, we may have a billionaire or here or there, especially in entertainment or in sports. You know, in fact, I've only heard about one billionaire who is not an entertainer or who is not into sports. But what kind of influence do they really have? None.
You know, the thing is, right, you know, like I say, I think there has to be a bigger foresight on the thing. I can't accept that there's not that type of potential for that money. But what I realize is that there's not that kind of coming together that there should be. I mean, the reality, yeah, of it is, Bob Olchi, come on, man. The reality of it is, I'm in the IT, and I don't need to ask people. I absolutely, you know, there are the tools to do what needs to be done, but it's just not being done. Look, I work, man. Look, please, I just don't need to hear that. Mm-hmm. I work with, when I work in it, it's mainly Asians I work with, right? And I see how they operate, and I see how they're doing. I see how it works, okay? And they're not smarter than us.
Of course they're not.
No one ties when they come in. The businesses, I always hear this from you. So they set up these businesses and all that. No one puts a chain around people's neck and toes and forces them in these businesses. They go because they want to go. They made that choice to go in their business. But the other way around, they are not going to come and shop with you. They're not going to do that.
No.
Do you know why they don't do that? You know why they don't do that? Because they have the mentality for that. Why do you go and buy from them? Because you don't have the mentality for that. You have made the choice to go along to get along. They have made the choice to build up and profit. So they've made
exactly. And all the other groups, Brother Paul, do that. The Asians.
So the problem is really, it's not really the money. It's the mentality.
It's the mentality.
What's going on?
There is
here.
No doubt. That's. Yeah. It is the mind. So, it's the mentality. It's the attitude. Yes, you're
it's
right.
That's what's happening. It's almost as if, right, you know, it's really troublesome. And do you know what the reality of it is? It's just exactly the same thing going on here. It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
No, when I walk past certain shops like selling hair products, I am wondering why every one of them is a person of African descent in that shop, but yet the owners are not that. I'm wondering, right?
It's global. Let me say it to you this way, Brother Paul. We as African people globally, we need to sit down and have a conference about how we're going to reclaim whatever it is that we need, that we produce. Whatever it is that we need, we can put it and manufacture it and put it out on the market. And if you want whatever it is that we're doing, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. But the bottom line is that we control what happens with us, as opposed to how can I buy their stuff? Where can I buy their stuff at? Where can I? No. And as a detriment to us, that's why we're in a situation where we lose. We constantly lose it.
You know what we're going to start on, Baba Olchi? You know what product we're going to start on?
What's that?
We're gonna start with toilet paper. That's where we're gonna start. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah? We may produce our own toilet paper.
Because there's not a person among us who doesn't need toilet paper.
Exactly.
So we're gonna totally take over that.
Exactly.
And control that and dominate it. And we're gonna make the best type of content that everybody has to buy. Yeah?
But you know what?
Look.
There is a company in here in the East. on the East Coast. I believe it's in Baltimore, in fact, that produces toilet paper. You know?
We all need to invest and take it over and control it and buy it and make enough money so we can do the things we talk about. Because the reality of it is, like I say, it really is not about money. No one can convince me that African Americans ain't got the money. No one's going to convince me of that. But the reality of it is that the problem which we all face is the mentality.
Yeah.
No one is forcing us into these people's businesses. No one's putting a gun to our head. We make that choice.
No.
The same way they make
because the choice. We've been trained to do that. We've been trained to believe that somebody else's ice is colder than what it is. We've been trained to be a targeted consumer group. Let me catch some other calls before I got to get out of here, Brother Paul, okay? Thank you, brother. Nope. Brother Irv, what's happening?
Baba Oshi.
Hey, only got a couple of minutes. Good to hear
you. Yep. Yeah, I know. You're always good to hear. You got 3 minutes really quickly. And I wanted to say this while he was talking, that money does not give you power. In other words, if money gave you power, then white folks wouldn't let us have access to it. So let's be clear. We have 400 years of slavery in this country to enslave our people, attempt to make our people into slaves. But then before that, you had colonialism. Now you have neocolonialism. So all these things are being fought by us. And that's why we're where we are in our mindset. Because all Paul was talking about was mentality.
Right. Yes.
Mentality is your mind.
Right.
All he was talking about was how you think. And I don't give a damn how much money you got. If you have the wrong mindset, not necessarily the wrong mindset, or one that doesn't help your people, then you might as well be broke. So it's not about money. It's about how you think and what you do with the money. And I had a conversation about sovereignty today. I believe the only solution to this is sovereignty.
Yes.
It has to be. Yes. Keep saying, I'm not leaving, and you're gonna love me. No, I'm not. You can stay here to the cap, Trump or Biden. It's neither one. We've been through Trump. Trump didn't end the world. Trump didn't affect me to the point where I can't do what I want to do. In 4 years, he gets out. But the thing is, neither one of them.
You know, let me say it this way, brother Irv.
Go ahead.
If these crackers want to implement Project 2025 and all of this draconian and evil ass shit, do so. Because to me, that is the signal right there for us to get our act together and get the hell up out of here. We don't want
to
be under
mighty race.
Under that. Exactly. We don't want to be under no bullshit like that. Okay, because there's no doubt about it. Do you want to get rid of us? Because just like Brother Jay said, the biggest employer of us privately is the federal government. The biggest employer of us publicly is Walmart. Go ahead.
And if this is what it takes for black people to come together, to make us do something like we did in Tulsa, like we did in Rosewood, like we did in all the communities that we couldn't get there, make it so we can't go to their stores again. Thank you. Now we will come together and we will rise as a mighty race of people and understand
and
that we're not
ourselves.
Negroes.
Exactly.
We're African.
And do for ourselves. I say, my brother, appreciate that. Let me catch Brother Ted Lusk. How you doing, my friend?
Real quick, sure. Baba Oshi, I'd like for you to meet Michael Jackson, my friend and co-coordinator for my Alpha commemoration here in Montgomery, Alabama.
Yes.
Mike, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brother Michael, how you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty
good. I'm excited about what you guys are doing. That's great.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so very much, Baba Oshi, because here in Montgomery, Alabama, on tomorrow, we are going to recapture our African minds. That's
right,
stealing the title from Bruce Bridges.
Bruce Bridges.
And so tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., we'll be on downtown Riverwalk Park. And boy, I sure wish all of you all were here with us. Thank you so very much for picking my call.
Oh,
we'll
definitely.
Talk more.
Listen, on Monday, give us a rundown of how things went, the activities the happening and presenters and so forth, okay, on Monday. Okay?
Very good.
Give us a wrap down. Yeah, all right, Brother Michael. Thank you.
Our call.
All right,
thank you.
All right, my brother. Peace to y'all.
Ashe.
Ashe. Unfortunately, that's it, family. That's it. But, of course, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And so hopefully you'll be able to join us on Monday. But we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahadie, Abibi Fahadie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. So you brothers and sisters in Montgomery, enjoy the festivities on tomorrow. And all the other brothers and sisters, be safe out there. Stay cool. Stay hydrated. Peace, family.
I say.
Hey, oh.